You may have heard of birth doulas and death doulas, but have you ever heard of a trauma doula? That's me. My name's Tony, and I'm the trauma doula, and this is your place to heal trauma, body, and soul.
Have you ever wondered why love doesn't always feel safe? Why you second-guess people's intentions and struggle with trust, or feel like you have to earn love by being good enough? The way we experience relationships today is rooted in something so much deeper, our earliest experiences of safety in childhood. In this episode, we're diving into what childhood safety really means, how early trauma shapes our sense of self, our sense of love and belonging, and how you can begin to create inner safety today, no matter what your past looked like. So, what does safety in childhood really mean? Oftentimes when we're thinking about safety, we're thinking about physical safety. You know, we're thinking about having food, having shelter, having, you know, protection from basic harm. And, you know, you may have often got these messages in early childhood that you should be happy you have a roof over your head. And you may have had parents that asked you what more you wanted from them. Because, you know, food and clothes and a place to sleep should be good enough. And being protected means so much more than just having some place to sleep at night. And yes, I do not want to negate the experience of those of you who did not have a safe place to sleep at night, because that is something, you know, childhood homelessness is and has been in our country, in the U.S., a really big problem. Over 50% of people who are homeless are actually children or people under the age of 18. So this is not to say that this isn't a metric of safety in childhood. It absolutely is. And if you or someone you know has, you know, had kids and is sleeping in a car or sleeping in a dilapidated house, I see you, I hear you. And also, some people are also, and it's also valid to struggle when you have not had emotional safety. And if you haven't had physical safety, you probably haven't had emotional safety either. So I'm just going to put that out there. And in today's episode, we're talking about the sense of emotional safety and what that means in early childhood. So, what does emotional safety mean? And do you have emotionally immature parents or caregivers? So, emotional safety is feeling nurtured, is feeling accepted, welcome in your home that you grew up in. It means knowing that your feelings mattered and that you didn't get punished for expressing your feelings. It's being loved by your caregiver and appreciated for who you are, not what you did, right? So many of us have emotionally immature families and caregivers, or narcissistic, which can come across very similar to emotionally immature and emotionally unavailable, right? The difference between narcissistic parents and emotionally immature parents is oftentimes the emotionally immature parents are, they oftentimes are emotionally unavailable and have had potentially their own trauma that is in the way of them even being able to see that you have needs, right? The narcissistic parent uses the child as a proxy of themselves. Like, that child is them and should act as a arm rather than a fully independent human being that has their own thoughts and feelings. Very two different types of things, but oftentimes the trauma, the pain from those two types of parents is very much the same. Okay. So it doesn't matter if your caregiver was emotionally immature or if they were narcissistic, because oftentimes, again, the pain is the same. You didn't have emotional safety to feel accepted, to feel nurtured, to feel understood, to feel like you had someone in your corner being there for you. And oftentimes you learn through experiencing growing up with these emotionally immature parents, you learn that you're not safe at home and in your body and in your feelings. And you start to disassociate from your own feelings and sense of self because you were not met. So if you had caregivers who were emotionally unavailable, whether they were narcissistic or immature, if they were critical, if they were inconsistent, you probably learned that you were too much and your needs were not important. And this will show up in your relationships as you minimize yourself so that you don't have to be too much, that you don't take up too much space, that you almost minimize yourself out of existence in your relationships because of the way that you were taught that you didn't matter, you didn't count. I find that this is actually a very persistent thought and expression of people who have childhood trauma, specifically with emotionally immature caregivers. They don't matter, they don't count, and they should really just be quiet and small and meet other people's needs, you know, act in ways that will help the caregiver meet their needs. So how does this affect your attachment styles and your sense of self-worth? Because the way you attach to your caregiver is going to be how you attach to your friends and your lovers, the people that you're in romantic relationship with. I find that if you are a person that avoids romantic relationship, you're going to have these attachment styles come out very heavily in your friendships. And if you're a person that is highly hyper independent and kind of avoids friendships, these things are going to come out in your romantic relationships because everyone has relationships with people. Okay, so these things are going to come out. So there are four attachment styles that everyone has. That's anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, disorganized attachment, and secure attachment. Everyone has some mix, combination, or singular of these attachment styles, right? So if you have an anxious attachment style, you're gonna feel like you are seeking reassurance, and you're gonna probably feel that fear of abandonment in your relationships, whether they're friendships or romantic. You also may be someone who people call codependent, right? If you have an anxious attachment style, there is a codependency there that comes out anytime you're in a relationship. And you often attach to avoidant attachments. So if you have an avoidant attachment style, you probably push people away and emotionally disconnect. You are probably the person that is like, well, I'm going to break up with them before they can break up with me. I'm going to hurt them before they hurt me. I'm going to do this before they can do it to me. You are the epitome of that, right? And so anxious and avoidant attachment styles tend to link up for whatever reason in relationships, even though each of these attachment styles makes the other significantly worse, okay? It's what you call the push-pull in a relationship. And in the spiritual world, people talk about twin flames a lot. A lot of the twin flame stuff just sounds like negative attachment styles and kind of sounds highly toxic. So please watch out for that as, you know, healing and growing is also opening up spiritually and holistically and energetically, and it is going to work on these attachment styles. Healing is going to work your attachment styles and start to, in a sense, pull out what you have been running from, hiding from, pushing down. But anyway, then there's disorganized attachment, which is a mix of both. Right? So the misnomer, the myth about the avoidant attachment style is that they don't want intimacy. They don't want to be close. The avoidant wants to be close, but they push people away. The disorganized attachment is wanting to be close. When people get close, you push them away. You come back and it's very chaotic because it's both. Okay, so you're going to be codependent and then you're going to push people away and then you're going to, you know, live your abandonment and then you're going to run towards people and then you're going to run away from them. It's a wild ride. Now, the securely attached person doesn't allow the actions of other people to, doesn't internalize the actions of other people to be a reflection of them. And they tend to take people at their word. So if I tell the anxiously attached person, if I'm in a relationship with an anxiously attached person, and I say, oh, honey, I need some space. I just need some Tony time. I take Tony time all the time, by the way. I need some Tony time. I just need a Tony date to, you know, be in my own energy. The anxious attached person isn't going to allow me to take space. They're going to text me the entire time. They're going to call. They're going to say, why don't you love me anymore? You know, there's going to be a lot of that. And I just haven't seen them in like 10 hours, right? Like, I just had a day to myself. The avoidant, if I said, you know, I'd really love to spend some time with you. I haven't seen you in a while. They are going to push me away. They're going to be like, I just saw you 5 days ago. Why are you on my back? Like, you're always around. And they are going to push away my bid for connection. And the disorganized is going to do both all the time, constantly. If I want space, they're going to be all up in my business. If I want closeness, they're going to be running the other direction. The secure attachment is going to hear me say, yeah, I need some space today. I need to have a Tony day. And they're going to be like, oh, that sounds great. What are you going to do on your Tony day? Let me know how it goes. I'll, you know, let me know when you want to make plans. Do you want to make plans like this day after your Tony day? You know, they're just going to be ready for it. And they're not going to take my Tony day as an attack against them. Right? And they're not going to take my bid for attention. If I say, hey, I really want to see you, they're going to say, yeah, let's get together. Let's do the thing. Da da da. Like, they're really going to recognize and take my words for what I'm saying rather than reading into my words as something underneath that I'm not saying, that I'm hinting at, right? So the secure attachment, they don't recognize that you're hinting at something if you are. And if you're anxious, avoidant, or disorganized, you're probably always hinting at things in your relationships and not just saying them outright, right? And again, your nervous system adapts to the level of safety you experienced in childhood. And many of us have had our caregivers be emotionally immature or narcissistic, meaning our attachment styles linked up with the attachment style of our caregiver. And whichever attachment style made us feel safest in our childhood is the one that we are currently operating out of, unless you've done some work. Because your attachment styles can and do change. So if you notice that the secure attachment style sounds really familiar, but you know that you're now an anxious attachment style or it's changed somehow. If you have ever been in an abusive relationship, your attachment style changed to suit that relationship. Because remember, we are human beings. Connection is not a nice to have. It's not a want. It's a need. And in childhood, we needed connection to other humans to make sure we were alive and well and able to live, quite literally live. And even though some of you are adults listening to this, even though you're an adult now, you still need human connections. Humans are social creatures, okay? What are some signs that maybe you didn't feel safe in childhood? Because these things don't just go away when you grow up. Your adult relationships and the way you handle stress and the way you talk about yourself shows whether or not you felt safe growing up, whether or not you remember your childhood, okay? Some of you do not remember your childhoods. That's okay. And there are signs, right? There are signs. So some signs that you were not emotionally safe as a child or that you had narcissistic or emotionally immature parents is one, you might suppress your needs to keep the peace. If you have heard keep the peace, we need to keep the peace, we need to, you know, just make everybody happy, go along, get along, you're probably going to be a people pleaser. And what needs were not met? What needs were you told to shove down? And most of the time, those needs were involving you feeling pain and you being mistreated in some way. You may also find that you are hyper independent. If you are hyper independent, hello, you probably were not emotionally safe. You probably weren't physically safe in childhood. Because if you're hyper independent, it means there's a whole lot of things that you had to do because your caregivers did not, could not, or would not do them for you. Another telltale sign of you not being emotionally safe in childhood, and I'll just say safe in general, although I think recognizing that emotional safety is important and your emotional wounds are in your energy body. And because we do not as a society hold energy and emotion as highly and important as we do physical cuts, bruises, scrapes, breaks, many people are walking around with emotional freaking gouges in their energy fields that are festering and that are infected. Okay? People have infections of the aura. Yeah, your auric field. So when we're talking about emotional safety, I really want to hone in that this isn't just like, oh, I was sad when I was a kid. It's an auric field gouge that is festering in your field. And this is something that is coming up to me, so I'm just going to say it right now. You know how dogs smell blood? Emotionally unavailable people and narcissists smell the festering infections in your auric field. Okay? They smell that. And if you find that you are attracting the same types of relationships over and over and over again, you probably have some wounds in your auric field, in your energy. And that's why this is important, okay? So back to the list. You may find, if you were not safe in childhood, that you withdraw or shut down when you feel emotions. Some people will say, well, I feel emotional. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? Do you notice where that is? Do you notice what that means when you say you feel emotional? And what do you do? Some people are going to shut down. Some people are going to withdraw. Some people are going to drink. Some people are going to consume marijuana. Some people are going to look for the narcotics, right? Drug addiction is a telltale sign that you did not feel safe at some point in your childhood and in your life, right? If you are always feeling like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, I'm here to tell you that's another sign that you did not feel safe and there was no point where you could get safe. Because the moment you did, the moment you let your shoulders drop and you took a deep breath and you started to relax, bam, something happened, right? And that is a sign that there was repeated trauma. And this is a sign also that your nervous system is still wired to survive. It's still in the nervous system states, which we'll talk about in a later episode. It's still wired in that fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, right? The four nervous system states. And so as we're talking about this safety in your childhood, recognize that your inner child is still within holding that space, holding that nervous system state of just trying to survive, making themselves as small as possible so that they don't have to be seen, so that they don't have to be heard, so that they can move around quiet and so nothing bad happens. And now you're an adult in relationships living this out. And even if things are different, even if your life is different, even if everything's changed, and even if you are safe, your inner child is still within your energy field, your arc field, the deepest parts of yourself, holding all that pain, all that trauma, all of that energy, waiting for you to come back, waiting for you to show up, waiting for you to see. So, if this episode resonated, know that you are not alone. you have the power to create a new sense of safety within yourself, within your relationships. You have the power to change. I truly believe that. That's what I do. That's why I do what I do. That is why I do this work, because I know change is possible. I did it. I know you can do it. If you want to go deeper, I am creating the Luminous Current Collective, and we are doing guided reparenting meditations. We're doing trauma-informed yoga and somatic movement, somatic release, all in this space that I am creating. Again, it's called the Luminous Current Collective, and I'm so excited to be inviting you all into this space. So if you've been on the healing journey with me for a while, whether through this podcast, my energy therapy work, or social media, you know that I believe healing is not meant to be done alone. There's something about being in a space where you feel seen, supported, and guided in a way that's nourishing and deeply soul healing. And that's why I created the Luminous Current Collective. And this space is really, really designed to support childhood trauma survivors, cycle breakers, highly sensitive people who are ready to heal in a way that honors your body and your soul. And if you've ever felt like traditional like self-help and therapy alone wasn't giving you this, if you felt like it was, you knew all the things and you intellectualized all the things, but you never felt a change, then this membership is for you. This is a healing studio that I am creating all in the online space so that we can explore healing in hopefully a way that connects it to your body and your soul. So each week there are trauma recovery yoga sessions, there's somatic release sessions, there's journal prompts, and monthly there's like live workshops. Again, this is a healing sanctuary where you can integrate and embody and reclaim the parts of you that trauma tried to take away. So the Luminous Current Collective is opening for enrollment in April. If you'd like to join the waitlist, please join. I am opening up the free community right now, but it officially opens in April. You'll get instant access to healing practices, and new content is going to be released each and every month. So I'd love to have you inside. I'd love to have you there, and I'd love to support your healing journey. I'm so excited to be able to offer what I offer in this space. So thank you so much for being here and coming along on the journey.